following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 30 for March 15th, 2010. Pillow Talk. And it is still light outside. Usually it's dark by this time.
It is definitely amazing how daylight savings will change the world.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why we change time, because time doesn't really change. Well, at least not usually.
Supposedly it was a thought on saving energy.
Yes.
Because it would be daylight for longer and you'd save a lot more energy.
Yeah, and farmers had more time in the fields or something.
Yes.
Anyway, here we are again.
Yes, with the Pillow Talk episode. We are not changing our podcast mode, and we will not be playing the Sylvia album from 1973 called Pillow Talk.
No.
So don't write in, because we don't have it and we don't want it.
Precisely.
Anyway, we will start out with our typical security news. Twitter is going to actually start checking links for possible malware sites.
How are they going to get to do this? Is it going to be like spam bot, or not a spam bot, but like a bot check? Or they're going to be actual people who go to each link?
I guess it's going to be kind of a bot checking system that is going to check against known malware sites. So when you actually get a Twitter that involves a link or Bitly or something like that, Twitter should be, quote, checking it.
Right.
In other news, LimeWire, a file sharing P2P service, that is pretty much known for malware and the such. They are teaming up with AVG to create a file sharing inspection tool so that all downloaded files will actually be scanned for viruses.
By AVG?
By AVG, yes.
Before they're already downloaded?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Like they're submitted and then they're scanned and then put up?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like on some websites when you save things. I think maybe Yahoo Groups or somebody does it, where if you're saving something, it'll ask, do you want to scan this with Norton or something like that. I've seen that on a few sites, can't remember where. So that's a good step. A lot of people use that. In the world of Mozilla Firefox, there are apparently a lot of users that have not upgraded from version 2.3 or 3.5 to the latest version of 3.6. They are going to start pestering the heck out of those users.
Yeah, I was pestered just before we started recording this podcast.
You had not upgraded?
No. I had to be pestered by Mozilla.
So anyway, they are going to pop up a message to those users until they actually upgrade because of the security holes that are...
Yeah.
Security holes and supposed stability. Granted, I was trying to do stories for this podcast and my Mozilla kept crashing every time I opened a tab. But I think that might have just been because
Zoom text.
Yeah, that kind of hogs it a little bit, but you'd think with a Core i7 processor, there wouldn't be an issue, but... I don't know. It's irritating as heck.
Should try doing it without Zoom text like you used to do and see what happens.
Yeah, I could, but I was trying to read stories the lazy way.
Oh, I see. Speaking of...
Microsoft. Microsoft is trying an experiment in New York City where they are giving assistive technology to senior citizens.
They are teaming up with New York City and three other cities. I'm not sure which ones. I'm not sure if they're doing it through the Better Business Bureau or how they're getting this technology out there and what rates they're offering. But apparently they're giving the technology to the city for a reduced rate, and then they're giving it to senior citizens, it looks like, for free, according to this article, but it may not. They may have to pay something for it. But they are taking it into the homes of people from their 60s who are into their 100s in an effort to keep these people connected to each other and to, you know, the outside world. So not only can they share things with their families now, like photos and getting on Facebook and email, but they can also connect with each other They have like websites that are set up in each city called, it was called like an electronic senior center or something, where they can go in and chat and connect with each other, kind of like a social network.
Yeah, I guess they're giving about $20,000 worth of equipment to these various cities. I believe one is in Florida, one or two are in Florida, and then the other's in New York or New Jersey, somewhere like that.
And they were interviewing them, and a lot of people are really impressed with it and love it and don't know what they would do without it.
Yeah, so they're giving computers with webcams, microphones, Windows 7, screen readers, magnifiers, and the like to all of these people for an experiment, which is turning out to be quite good for the senior citizens. Maybe they'll come out with more podcasts, or maybe they'll just start sending out more Farmville gifts to everyone.
Yeah, they say a lot of people who play Farmville are senior citizen age, so I don't know how that'll work.
I don't need another cow. Anyway.
Moving right along.
In the EU, they are pestering Microsoft over the dreaded ballot yet again.
Yeah, apparently Microsoft, when it would install, it would get to the point where it wanted to install a browser. It would come up with a screen like we discussed before, giving you a list of choices for the browser. And not only were people with disabilities angered that it didn't really give them a lot of feedback on whether browsers were accessible or not, but apparently the analog that it used to put up the choices was not done in a random order. So Internet Explorer was always one of the first choices. I guess that would ensure that it got picked the most times.
Yeah, there's been complaints about that and the fact that the scroll bar goes left to right instead of up and down. It's not intuitive or something. That was one of the complaints I had read somewhere else.
So now they're giving people more of a choice and asking them which one they want.
Yes, and apparently they rolled this out last week, so people in the EU that have Internet Explorer may be asked to pick a browser.
Right.
Whether they pick the big E or not, who knows?
That still doesn't give people any feedback on whether their choices are accessible or not, but I guess it does give people more freedom to pick when they're not being subtly influenced by an analog-generated browser list.
Yeah, I just feel sorry for the person that gets one of those six off-brand browsers that is just like nobody uses.
Right.
That's when it's going to become interesting out there. But in the Microsoft Word lawsuit, there was a few developments.
Are we done
this
with
week.
Microsoft yet? No, I don't think so. Microsoft Word, Microsoft and had the suit going with I4I, and it was Microsoft was found by a court last year of infringing on this patent that I4I had with XML documents. And Microsoft was allowed an appeal before a full circuit court in Texas, an in-bank review, I guess, reviewing by all the judges from the beginning. And the decision of the previous court was still upheld. So I don't know what Microsoft will end up having to pay this company, and what the terms of the settlement are, but apparently they still were found to have infringed on this XML patent that this company had. I guess it's in Canada somewhere.
Yeah, it's a small company in Canada that apparently had rights to the DocX framework or something. I don't see what the big deal is. Microsoft should just pay them off and say goodbye.
I mean,
Bill Gates can sneeze and make enough money for them to go away. But we will turn into scientific news.
Well, not quite. This is more legal news.
Freedom Scientific.
Yes, about Freedom Scientific, the juggernaut that it is turning into, kind of like Microsoft.
I was trying a little misdirection there.
Oh, okay. That was lost on me. Most things usually are. Freedom Scientific and GW Micro have been having this thing going on for like over a year now about this patent dispute with the place marker enhancement that Freedom Scientific has in JAWS and maybe Magic. And GW Micro has alleged that Freedom Scientific, when developing this, infringed on some of their patents for the same kind of thing. And I don't have the full text. It got really technological, but Freedom Scientific tried to maintain that the technology that they used was different in a way that was fundamental enough not to have infringed on the patent. The court did not agree, and GW Micro won the suit. Freedom Scientific appealed and was still, their claim was still denied. So they launched another appeal this February, just a week or two ago. It seems like they're trying to beat themselves over the head with losing, but that's their business. I'm not sure how this is going to impact future versions of any screen readers or products that they will release, and I'm not sure what kind of damages they'll be required to pay GW Micro or IBMware, whichever company has the patent. I'm not really sure which one it is for this whole business.
So I guess the question is, which one of these companies is Apple and which one is Google?
Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
Everyone's sort of suing over technology that yep. has probably existed for the last 15 years.
Yep.
Just no one has said, it's mine.
Exactly. Precisely. I don't think it's been 15 years, but it's at least been 6 years.
Well, I mean, Apple and Google are arguing over touchscreen technology and things.
This whole thing is just stupid.
That kind of stuff has been out since the friggin' Newton back in the 90s.
Oh, but it's the way you go about developing it and the actual like components of it, I guess. This is just so silly to me, all of it.
All it does is hurt the consumers that just want the freaking technology.
Exactly. It drives the prices up and hurts your business. I mean, if you're perceived to have lost a suit, people are going to want to take their businesses elsewhere, regardless of, you know, what the actual merits of the case are.
But hey, guess what? There's another story about a legal suit.
Yes, this is another sort of silly one, although this has to do with advertising. There's a company called Enhanced Vision, and I don't quite know what they do, but we had this discussion earlier that Freedom Scientific was suing them for apparently false advertising because they were using the Freedom Scientific name to get spots for themselves on advertising platforms on the internet, web advertising, and also had the Freedom Scientific name in their search meta tags. And Freedom Scientific, I guess, won this or settled this case with them for an undisclosed amount. The terms of the settlement aren't known at this time, but apparently this is one of those things that's going to be settled before going to a trial. So
it was sort of false advertisement.
Yeah.
They were sort of portraying
themselves as Freedom Scientific.
Ah.
Yeah, I guess when they were trying to sell some of their things, they were trying to portray themselves as Freedom Scientific on these other websites that advertised products.
Yeah, I can kind of see that being a little bit of an issue.
That's a little bit of a problem.
That might not be a hooey.
Now, I'm not sure about the search meta tags. I mean, I'm not really sure how they used that, because I mean, a lot of people use the tag Freedom Scientific on their website. I mean, we have it on our website, but I guess that's hooked in with advertising maybe in a more intimate way.
Maybe.
Because they're a company.
Maybe it was because they were buying advertising. It was being seen as they were trying to grasp onto Freedom Scientific's ad word.
Yeah, I think so. You know? I think so.
I mean, if you're doing a website and you're doing SEO, search engine optimization, I mean, you're going to put keywords in there to sort of game the system in order to get people to link
but
to
I think
you.
The key with this was that they were paying for advertising, and so trying to use Freedom Scientific as, I guess, part of their identity.
Yeah. Well, they probably should have used generic keywords instead of an actual copywritten name.
Right. And I think if they had used the name in the SEO, it wouldn't have mattered so much if they hadn't done this advertising thing.
And yet, let's go into the world of Toyota.
Yes. One last legal story, leaving Microsoft and Freedom Scientific behind for a minute. Toyota, the recall of Toyota cars that's been going on may save someone from being in prison. He may be able to get out of prison because of this recall. A guy I'm not sure what year this happened, but he was driving a 1996 Camry Toyota when he struck some people in another car going along the road.
I believe it was a 2006.
Yeah, it wasn't that far back.
It was a 2006. It was a 2006 Toyota because it wouldn't fit in the current recall, which was 2005 to 2010.
Yeah, it was a 1996 Camry. And they were, he was driving along and struck these people and was put in prison for vehicular homicide, claiming that his brakes and accelerator were at fault and he accidentally, ran into their car and killed them. And because of this recall, the court in this matter is reconsidering the evidence, even though his model of car was not on the recall list. Apparently, there was some evidence uncovered at the trial about the condition of the accelerator and the brakes that was kind of ignored when the case was being discussed, because it had not happened to any other car, so they kind of ignored it. But apparently they're reconsidering this now, and the courts want the car back. It's has been impounded for a while, and they want it back to relook at this again. Relook isn't really a word, but to reconsider this whole thing again. And interestingly, the families of the victims in this case want the case reconsidered because they don't believe that he was negligent. They believe that the car messed up. So who knows what will happen, but hopefully it will work out well for all these people.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard to think that a 10-year-old car would have the same problem as newer models.
That's true.
Because the older cars were a lot less computer maintained, mm-hmm. you know, a lot less circuitry in there in those older models.
But it wouldn't, I mean, maybe the mechanisms controlling the accelerator and the brakes, which are the problems going on, haven't changed that much.
Could be.
There's that possibility too.
And some of the recalls right now that are going on involves the cruise control.
Yes.
Steve Wozniak has been saying on Twitter and other venues that he found a problem with his Toyota Prius where if he hit 51, 61, 71 miles per hour in his hybrid that the accelerator would stick,
mm-hmm.
but Toyota and other people haven't been able to prove this as being an issue, but
right.
some are thinking that there is a problem with the cruise control.
Mm-hmm.
But we will stick with the transportation where Google Maps is actually going to allow bike riders to designate their path with Google Maps.
Yes, Google has built in cities a way in which people can designate bike routes on Google Maps. And apparently, it's going pretty well. I believe one of the cities was Portland that they've been trying this in.
Portland, Minneapolis, and I can't remember some of the other ones, but they're supposed to be rolling it out in 150 various
yes.
cities.
They have these specific sites, bike mapping sites in these several cities, San Francisco and New York among them, and it's going to roll it out over the next several months. And it's going to feature this at the 10th Annual Bike Summit in Washington at some point, whenever this happens, later on this year. Feature this capability of Google.
Yeah, I guess they're getting a lot of map data that is giving them hills and different information about the topography mm-hmm. of the different areas.
Right.
And if it's supposed to sort of direct people away from hills and valleys mm-hmm. and things that might impede their travel. But users will be able to actually drag the map so that they can go up those hills if they want to.
Right.
So it could be kind of interesting. I'm not sure that it would really help visually impaired folks because it's sort of a graphical map, but...
Well, it would help in the sense that it would give them a way to, if people told them how to get somewhere, it would be easier than a way that might be like a car way. A bike way might be a little more walkable, maybe in some circumstances.
True.
So it might double as a pedestrian use for Google Maps as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's very possible. And in a new development for sign language, not one of our typical topics.
Not one of our typical topics, but one of interest nonetheless when we can find something on it. A company called Crown Incorporated has developed a sign language translator. Apparently, this is for American Sign Language, and it is meant to be used in the field of education or public service, like a community organization. If you, for instance, type in a word on the keyboard, the correct sign for that word or phrase will come up. It has a vocabulary of over 3,000 common words and phrases, so this will theoretically give people an easier way to learn rudimentary sign language so that they can better communicate with people who may be hard of hearing or totally deaf.
Yeah, that would definitely be useful. In my neighborhood where I grew up, there was a kid that was deaf, mm-hmm. and you never could communicate really with him because he used sign language and red lips and things like that, and his grasp of speech wasn't that great,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was always a struggle to sort of communicate.
But right.
This would have been great 20 years ago.
Right. Well, better late than never. Better late than never. But you're right. That is a good use for it, even among kids. And I bet kids would get a big kick out of it, too. It's technology and touchscreen and cool.
Very true. Now, if you could just take a picture of that person and actually mm-hmm. have it tell you what they said, that would be even
would
better.
Be even better.
But granted, they would have to close caption that in some way. So yeah, you can scratch mm-hmm. that.
Oh, well. Need one of those digital photo frames with closed captioning capability.
Yeah, exactly. In other, well, I don't really know how we can really segue into this drink. But this week, past weekend, in Austin, Texas, they were having the South by Southwest movie, music, and technology festival.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sort of a geek paradise. It used to just be movies. Now it's sort of being more known for technology folks to go, whether they're podcasters mm-hmm. or new technology developers or website developers or social networking, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But they do a thing with the music festival where on their website they release music by the bands mm-hmm. that you can download. Now, South by Southwest, known as SXSW,
SW.
If you see the pound or hash sign on the Twitters, puts these links up there so that you can download songs one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an enterprising couple of guys decided that it would be a lot better if they just downloaded those and made a BitTorrent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, BitTorrent is a way of downloading a huge file in little bitty chunks and pieces
right.
from various people.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's people seeding it, you can actually download it.
Right.
So they took all of the music downloads since 2005 and have put it up on a website. South by Southwest hasn't really commented as to whether they approve or disapprove of this. They sort of give the no comment thing because it's a different way of displaying the music, and the artists were not actually consulted in doing this,
mm-hmm.
but the guy who came up with this idea hasn't been told to take it down. So
right.
It's not sure whether it's legal or not legal at this point.
Well, if all the music's available on the website to be downloaded song by song for free, I'm not seeing the problem.
I don't know either. Maybe that's why South by Southwest hasn't really commented on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if people have something like uTorrent or BitTornado or Azurius or something like that, and they want to download this music, they can go to sites, sites.google.com/site/SXSW torrent, TORRENT, all one word. And you can get the torrent files for this. There's, I believe, probably 10 or 15 of those in the gigabytes of data that you can download.
Oof.
And it's anything from new bands to current artists, I mm-hmm. believe, that are performing at the conference.
All right. Well, I think I'll pass. We've got a whole lot of music, but I'm sure other people would probably like that. And it hasn't been taken down yet, so if you want it, get it while you can.
Yes, very much so. And now we can go to, we've mentioned Google, we've mentioned Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned Twitter at the beginning, just a little bit.
Now we have to mention Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah, a guy in Wales has been fined by the court for insulting his ex-girlfriend on Facebook. To my knowledge, this is the first time that this kind of thing has actually happened, not the insulting of people on Facebook, but the fining people for such insult. And the question now arising is, will this happen more in the future? The actual comment that he posted, I haven't been able to find that, but I don't think that was released to the press. But the fact that he insulted her, called her names, harassed her, he claimed that he was doing this just so that he could see his child, you know, whatever the reason it was done, and the courts fined him an undisclosed amount for this.
Yeah, I guess it was some sort of a harassing comment that was, I don't know, either taken the wrong way or taken the right way. It's
mm-hmm.
not really clear from what
it's not really
saying.
Clear. I mean, I from the way I read it, it sounded like he just was threatening her with idle threats and things, and maybe wanted to harass her so she would get, you know, give in and let him see his child, I guess, or whatever the reason was. But yeah, he was fine for it, doing such a thing.
Yeah, it just goes to show that social networking is becoming
bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's
and people are trying to determine what kinds of consequences for your actions you can be, you know, liable for. What kinds of consequences there'll be?
Yeah, I mean,
because this is a completely new medium, somewhat lawless medium, and so if people can't abide by common courtesy, what will happen to them?
Yeah, I mean, we've had stories in the past about students saying bad things about teachers, mm-hmm. teachers saying bad things about students. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just going to continue to grow and grow until the courts have to make some sort of a ruling on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Congress has to come up with something or something. But I think it's, in the U.S. anyway, it's a very constitutional First Amendment type of issue. And I don't think we're going to see any firm kind of ruling on this until somehow it gets in front of the Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court gets some kind of review going on these cases.
Well, and these networks sort of give you the idea that your information is private.
But right.
Law enforcement agencies are using this information to either mm-hmm. catch criminals or help get them out of jail or mm-hmm. things like that. It's kind of crazy the way things are working. Even this week, Facebook is going to allow location-based information to be given out in people's status messages, mm-hmm. which that is kind of crazy in effect. In effect, just because the Please Rob Me website that we discussed last week evidently really didn't spur anyone to get away from all this sharing locations and saying, mm-hmm. I'm at a concert, I'm not home for 3 hours, come get me.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you there's this like weird dual thing going on with people saying I want be privacy, but then at other times saying, oh, I don't care, you know. So it's hard for everybody to kind of determine where the boundaries lie in this whole newness.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that want to keep everything private, and then mm-hmm. other people that just want to let things out in public.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, if somebody wanted to find out that you weren't at home, they could easily do that just by mm-hmm. driving by or
right,
something
exactly.
But you know, it's just an easier way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, where are we at now?
We are heading into the Game Show Network.
Before we talk about that, this should have been done earlier and I kind of forgot. I want to let everyone know about one product that's been released and one upgrade accessibility-wise. The Bookport Plus from American Printing House for the Blind was released last week. The current price is $299. Apparently, that is a promotional offer that's going to be active for a limited time. I don't know what that means, and I don't know what the price will be once that offer is revoked, because they haven't released that information. But if you want it for under $300, granted, it's only a dollar under, you can get it from APH until an unspecified time, and then it will be back up to its normal price that we don't know about yet.
It's probably one of those while supplies last.
Exactly, exactly.
Whatever that means.
And it depends, I guess, on how many people buy it when they feel like they can end this promotion or they need to. Also, the Dolphin Systems is giving free upgrades to, I guess, version 11 of its various products, including HAL and Supernova and the Lunar Reader, among others. So just in case anyone has those products, you may be entitled to some free upgrades. You can look at their website and find out all the restrictions and limitations and what the upgrades do, but they are available.
Free is always the best way to go. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And speaking of free, there is a new game show coming out in podcast form. I think participation is free. You can call up to this game show podcast. It is called Double Cross. It's not been started yet, but if you go on buzzerblogs.com, they talk about it. They are doing this in conjunction with Game Show Network Radio. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I have no clue.
And apparently you compete in this, and if you can convince people that the answer to... They got questions. If you can convince people that the wrong answer to the questions is, in fact, the right answer, you can win cash or prizes. What those are, we haven't determined, but again, they'll be talking about that with GSN Radio And what the actual schedule for recording is, they haven't determined that either.
Yeah, I guess they referenced a British game show called Quiz 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 that is sort of similar to this. It's not really known when it's going to release, but apparently they've got some iPhone applications and other things coming out related to various game shows.
That could be sort of fun. Silly, but fun.
Yeah, but they're gonna take calls by landline and Skype, it apparently, when they do launch this.
Right.
Could be interesting. I think they should bring back Match Game.
Yeah, me too.
They could get six people on Skype or something, you know. That'd be one heck of a Skypeosaurus, but not sure how that would work with being able to trust the people that they wrote down the answer that they put.
Yeah, that's the thing. Would there be a way for it to come in through Skype chat? I mean, could they put it in the text entry and say the answer?
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure how they would end up doing that. But we digress.
We digress greatly.
But now we'll head over to the Chilean earthquake.
Oh my goodness. This earthquake.
Okay, that was spontaneous.
Yeah. This earthquake actually moved the earth. The whole earth. It was also done in 2005 with the Sumatra earthquake that happened, that was 9.9. Well, this earthquake was 9.4. This one was 8.8. And it moved the earth about the same amount on its axis, about 3 inches on its axis. And it shortened our day by about 1.24 microseconds. Despite that, it's still light outside. I think it's the length of the entire day. So our day, 23 hour and 59 second day, is now shorter by 1.24 microseconds.
I wonder if I guess that's just how massive that earthquake was. Hopefully it doesn't happen when Fat Frida falls down and hits the ground.
Hopefully not. but we thought we would mention that.
Yeah, so I guess there's just not quite enough time to do anything.
I guess not. The time's getting shorter and shorter.
And what if we had 3 or 4 more earthquakes since then?
Something like that.
You know, we might lose a whole minute here at some point.
Might, indeed.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, apparently there is a guy who has married a pillow.
A South Korean man has decided that he wanted to marry a body pillow, which is like a 5 foot long pillow that has the face and likeness of a anime character, which is like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
His family, not quite sure what to do. He is taking it to amusement parks, going to dinners, plays, movies with it. He actually gets it a seat at a restaurant.
Yes.
And buys it dinner.
And the weird thing is, the Japanese government is kind of like, these people are weird. But then they talk to the people, and the people are like, we like two-dimensional better than three-dimensional anyway. If we could live in a two-dimensional world, we'd be perfectly happy. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, these animated pillows and things are just pillows. If you buy it dinner, you're going to have to eat the dinner. It doesn't even talk, not even a recorded talking pillow. So what's the attraction of this whole two-dimensionalness?
I have no idea. I mean, what?
These are people who don't want to deal with feelings of anybody else. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They just don't want to have to deal with other people's feelings and emotions and connect with people, which is kind of distressing.
I mean, what kind of pillow talk can you actually have with this? I mean, come on now.
Come
really?
On. Really? I mean, I don't know. Maybe if he expects it to talk back, I think he's got another thing coming.
Yeah, unless he's just that crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone from marrying a video game character to marrying a pillow. What will it be next?
I am not sure. I am going to throw out 2 quick topics that were what were your thinking considerations.
Oh, God.
These are just kind of strange and somewhat disturbing and disgusting at the same time, and we will not discuss them much more than just saying a Florida lady wrecked her car because she was shaving her genitalia area while going on a trip to see her boyfriend.
Yeah, her bikini line, apparently, and she was letting her... Never mind, we're not going there.
Yeah,
she was trying to shave and drive at the same time.
Yeah, but what makes it really funny is the fact that she had a DUI, driving under the influence ticket, just the day before. So now it's questions of whether or not she violated her probation by...
Doing this. Okay,
yes.
What's the other one? Move along.
And the other one is a lady in a state prison... I don't remember what state it was, squirted the female security guard with her breast milk.
That's all we're going to say about those.
That's it.
Those were two we considered and decided not to consider.
But you can find those stories and more that we considered for this episode by going to delicious.com/techaccess/30.
You can follow us on Twitter if you so desire by going TA_weekly. You can comment on our podcast that way. You can send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com, or you can visit our website.
And you can even call us via Google Voice at 260-227-5829.
And on that note, I think we will call this a podcast.
Is it a pillowcast?
No, just a podcast this time.
Just a podcast?
Just a podcast.
Okay.
No pillow talk.
Should I play Sylvia?
No.
Okay. Maybe somebody can get that on the legend this weekend.
That would be funny.
Calling all legend.
Calling all legend broadcasters.
Yeah.
Oy.
We have carried this off into a very bad area, and we are going to sign off now by just simply saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Or you may leave a voice message at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. Please visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.